Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. And I have to say, 2020 has yet to have a dull moment this year. It has been one interesting year so far, day after day, day after day. And but again, we're still down here at Health Masters, hammering everything down in the interesting state of Florida. And how are you doing today, Dan?
Austin, as always, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Now, I've got to do a report this morning with you, and it's going to be kind of one of those, we're going to remain neutral and let you guys make up your own mind. You know, yesterday I told you about a group of pastors that were continuing to have services in spite of the national quarantine and the emergency executive order initiating War Powers Act. I mean, what we have here right now in the United States, and I don't really want to be this dramatic about it, but this is really what's going on, is Donald Trump has said we're in a state of war. And he basically has the right now, as its commander-in-chief, to do pretty much whatever he wants to do, including suspending the First Amendment or the right of lawful assembly or the right to have more than 10 people in a group or whatever. And I don't particularly like that. Nobody listening does, but, you know, it's all part of the Constitution and the War Powers Act and him declaring war. I mean, you kind of, here's how it's kind of like. And Austin and I talked about that this morning. You know, we end up basically having an invasion of the United States. China invades us from the west, Russia invades us from the east, and we're a full-blown war. And all of a sudden, it comes time for the election in November. And Donald Trump suspends the election and says, we're not going to have an election, we're at war. You know, the very survival of the United States is, in fact, at risk here, and we can't take our time away from what we're doing in order to have an election. He could do that, by the way, with the War Powers Act invoked. Now, yep. Would people like that? Would constitutional scholars pitch a fit and just go into meltdown about that? Absolutely, yes. But, you know, we have the ability to do that in a republic and in a constitution that we have, because it has to be in there in the event that we have a war. Well, when Trump invoked the War Powers Act and then basically told everybody they needed to stay home and needed to quarantine and church services needed to stop with more than 10 people, et cetera, as a constitutionist, you know, he's saying, okay, I'm following the Constitution. And as a president, he's being a leader and saying, I'm going to do what's best for the country. Now, we can all disagree with that. And you guys know that I've been pro-Trump when he said good things, and I've been down Trump when he said bad things. And overall, I think Trump's done an absolutely horrible job, but that's my opinion. I mean, I don't like it when he puts all the Goldman Sachs and all the, you know, J.P. Morgan people into the positions of power and more Council on Foreign Relations members than even Barack Obama did. I don't like any of that. Okay? And then we have people now that are coming out and saying that the Treasury is overtaking the Federal Reserve Bank and Trump's doing that. Let me explain to you what's happening with all that before I start on this thing with the pastors. In 1934, the New York Fed took control of the Treasury. It ain't vice versa. They're just making it legal now. It's through the Exchange Stability Fund. So this isn't Q's big response for Donald Trump getting rid of the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve and the Treasury are basically fusing, and they're trying to do things legally. They may unwrap things after this thing gets over with. Who knows? But the reality is they want to get rid of the New World Order. They want to get rid of the United States. They want to get rid of all these independent governments that have a New World Order. In addition to that, the petrodollar, as I mentioned yesterday, with oil being down around $20, less than $20 a barrel now, is not as stable as it was because people aren't buying oil at $60, $70, $80, $100 a barrel in U.S. dollars. So they're unwrapping the whole thing. These guys do this Green Deal that they talked about and have been pushing now for years, this 2030 agenda that they have. You know, we all laugh when Cortez says that she wants to stop all air traffic last year. We thought that'll never happen. Well, guess what, guys? We're pretty much stopping all air traffic globally. She said she wants to shut down all these factories. And we're, guess what, guys? We're pretty much shutting down all the factories. I mean, General Motors is still shut down. China basically has blue skies. All of the things that they were pushing for the eugenics, for the reduction of pollution, for the reduction of carbon units, for population reduction, all of it is being done now under the guise of President Donald Trump. Yep. And now we have a pastor of Florida, megachurch, Rodney Howard Brown, is arrested for continuing to hold Sunday services with hundreds of worshipers despite social distancing orders put into place to stop the spread of coronavirus. Now, what Austin was able to do, one of our listeners, actually watched the news conference, the question and answer session, that we can't find anywhere else online, by the way, as far as what I'm fixing to play for you. and it's going to tell you exactly what was going on at the news conference and what happened before this arrest. Now, I'm going to go ahead and play this because I asked Todd to do it because of the format. He couldn't do it, so we're going to go ahead and just play it on my iPhone here today and do this.
Not only is it the weaponry that he has.
Hang on, I'm going to start this over. Hang on, I got to start this over because this is a live show, and this is the way things work here when you have a live show. Okay, here we go.
His arsenal of weaponry that he holds. Not only is it the weaponry that he has, he also has the vast security force that he has deployed. So, hence why we didn't serve the warrant. The state attorney did a phenomenal job of getting us the warrant that we needed for officer safety reasons. It's the reason why we didn't storm the church and arrest him in front of his 500 parishioners who were gathered yesterday morning or evening. We wanted to be smart about this as well from an officer safety perspective. So, hence why we're allowing him the opportunity to turn himself in. If he doesn't, then we're going to be forced to be police officers and go get him. And at that point, law enforcement's highly trained and will handle it appropriately.
Okay, that's the first part of the video I wanted you guys to listen to. Now I'm going to play another one for you, but I want to comment on this one. Hang on.
Now about the COVID-19 virus is made up. It's a hoax and that it's no more serious than the flu. I think you can look at the quick spread of this virus, how deadly it is, and understand the importance of why these precautionary measures, these aggressive precautionary measures, needed to be taken by the emergency policy group to protect the safety and reduce the spread of this virus.
What, we got one more to go. Hang on. Might as well finish playing them. I got them going.
From him saying that he's an essential business, and that's just not the case. And again, our legal staff explained that to him. Our command staff, our executive staff, our chief deputy went to meet face to face. It was that important to us to try to emphasize the education base of this safer home order. We did everything we could to explain that there's a difference between gathering for a place of worship and getting those essential services and needs that we warrant each and every day.
Now, okay, now I wanted to play all that. Now, also, I will say that this service that Rodney Howard Brown did on Sunday was being streamed live on YouTube at the same time it was being done in person in the church. So the people who were there could have stayed at home and watched it. But then we have the constitutional, basically, quandary that we run into of the interference of the church versus the state. And then we have the problem associated with if Rodney Howard Brown basically has people who are becoming infected with coronavirus at the church going out into the general population and affecting the general population and spreading this through Tampa Bay. I mean, they were holding hands, they were praying, they were doing all the things that you normally do in a church, and basically had no, they really weren't trying at that point to not be together and practicing. Now, I spoke to my attorney last night, and so all this stuff happened last night, so I'm not taking any sides on this either way. So I talked to my attorney, who's a constitutional law expert, and he said, I asked him, I said, is Rodney Howard Brown or the River Church culpable if someone in the church comes down with coronavirus? Because he told people to come to church, and he gave them a choice, but they came or didn't come. Is he and the church culpable if someone comes down with coronavirus, means can be responsible, held responsible for it, and if someone dies, what could they do to him if he did this assembly? And he said it would be classified as negligence per se, and it could actually fall under the felony murder rule. And he said that this is no way is responsible conduct as a felony murder rule would be concerned. And he said there's no reasonable standard for this as a felon, that he was told not to do it, and that he violated lawful orders. So John said that he could be held culpable if the state attorney wanted to, if someone died from his church, someone they were with died because they were at church. So this turns into a giant constitutional legal quandary. So the question is this, should we support Rodney Howard Brown and his constitutional right of free assembly in a church, or should we say perhaps he should have used better judgment and not have done this, because he was streaming live anyhow over YouTube, and his parishioners would have seen the service regardless if he had only had 10 people in the church, primarily his staff, the worship team, singing over the church, which I've had a lot of other pastors who've done the same thing. They basically have gone to YouTube, and they're streaming their services live, and they've had a decrease in revenue, but they're still having a good attendance as far as people watching it online. And Austin had something that was absolutely brilliant. He said this morning, he said, well, Dad, I'm a libertarian, and if I want to walk over and I want to stick my tongue in a light socket, that's entirely up to me. And I said, that's true. And I said, and he goes, and if other people want to stick their tongue in a light socket, it's entirely up to them too. And I said, you're absolutely right. So if they want to come to church because that's what they chose to do, that's fine. But when you're in a quarantine proceeding like this under a national edict of war and emergency, you know, the people who are sticking their tongues in the light sockets don't have the right to go out into the general community and force everybody else to stick their tongue in the light socket because they chose to do that with a communicable, highly contagious disease. And so we talked about this morning. And so we basically said, and you know, I'm going to let Austin give his opinion on this too in a second. We basically said that we're leaving it up to you guys. I'm not going to drop on either side of this. I'm not going to say Rodney was right, Rodney was wrong. Now, but I will say this. I used to associate with Rodney Howard Brown. I no longer do so, but it wasn't because of this. This happened quite a ways back for various reasons that I'm not going to get into. And so I can't say that I support him, but nor can I say that I don't support him, because I'm going to remain neutral on this, because I see both sides of this. So you guys have to make a choice of what you think. But with my attorney's thing, he's culpable in the event that somebody dies. It'd be like me telling you guys to go out and go to church and go out and mingle and go to a club or whatever, and just because coronavirus was a joke and it wasn't contagious, and then you guys went out and something happened to you guys, I would be negligent. I would never do that. I have told you from the very beginning in January, I have warned you guys this thing was real and it was coming. And I had so many people thought I was crazy, you know, which I don't care. It means nothing to me. As long as I please God, I don't care what people think of me. So here's the thing. I've been warning you now for 3 months that this was on the way here, because I had a friend of mine in China who said, this is not H1N1. This is not Ebola. This is real. And China now is having a big relapse, and their factories are still closed. They're lying about that. All they do is lie. So this is your decision to make. You know, if you think Rodney Howard Brown is right, he's bonded out with $500, non-lawful assemblies it's like a misdemeanor. It's like basically loitering. I mean, so you know, you guys, let me know what you think. Let me know what you think. Now, I can tell you what I think, but I'm not going to do that, because this is your choice. Because on this side of this thing, there is going to be a whole bunch of people who are supporting Rodney and a whole bunch of people who don't support Rodney. So it's one of those things that, you know, you got to make your own decision on all of this stuff. I've told you the legal aspects of it. I've told you all of this stuff, but it's your choice as far as what you want to do with this. Austin, what do you think?
You know, this entire situation, not just this church situation, but this entire virus situation has put America in a very interesting quandary. It's a quandary. You know, there's no debate about that. It's changed the perspective of everybody's life. What's important, what's good, what's bad, what's wholesome, what's safe. What's too much tyranny? What's too much overstep? This has been something that I think a lot of people are struggling to try to get answers with. And the situation that happened yesterday is another quandary. Is the same thing you brought up, unbelievably valid points, as we've seen that the sheriff stated this was unlawful assembly, which, granted, this was also on private property of a church. That's something else to think about, too. This was not them in the middle of the street protesting. They were inside the church, and they classified it as unlawful assembly, which, via criminal law, unlawful assembly is stated as, and I quote, a meeting of three or more people with the intent of carrying out an unlawful purpose. So, is not following a national executive order from Donald Trump to limit exposure to people a unlawful purpose? Well, by law, technically that would be. But then again, as Dad said, where are we in the aspect of the United States Constitution now when it comes to a virus? because we have a very blurry line now on both sides. Is it okay for people to assemble knowing that they're openly endangering themselves and other people? But also, is it okay for the sheriff's department to go and issue an arrest warrant for somebody that's having a church service on private property and charge them with unlawful assembly? This is a very strange situation, guys, and this is actually unprecedented. To my knowledge, I've never seen this occur, not at least in my lifetime. I've never seen this happen before. And as Dad said, you have the separation of church and state, but you also have essentially the Constitution being placed on hold. It's being placed on hold right now. I mean, let's just be clear on that. The United States Constitution technically does not apply to anybody in the United States right now. They can do anything they want from an executive standpoint, from a presidential standpoint, and there's very, very, very little backlash that they will get from it. Another aspect of it is, too, is the same thing I brought up to Dad, is the parishioner's choice, the people that came in. They issued an arrest warrant for Rodney Howard Brown because he was the leader of the church. What about the 500 individuals that came to the church? They were also acting in what technically would be, under this executive order from Donald Trump, an unlawful act, even though that's very questionable on the mere presence of what they were doing, since they were going to church. They had no intent of riot or any danger to people. However, could that be argued again, that they were knowingly putting people in harm by meeting together? I don't know. You guys think about this, because this is a real weird topic. I never thought I would see this happen in the United States before, but I personally think we're going to start seeing a lot of weird stuff happen in the United States. Also, do you think the sheriff overstepped his bounds? Do you think that he did this more of a show of force to try to prove to the populace that you will follow anything they tell you to do? Or do you think he was generally concerned for the well-being of people at that church and the surrounding area that they may have come in contact with? I don't know. I mean, it's hard to really judge a man's intentions. His actions speak loud, but I mean, really, where was this at? And also, too, that played that video, and this is one of the parts that I was a little taken back from, was that an excessive threat from the sheriff on national television? I got that video footage from a friend of mine. He actually recorded the TV during the live Q&A from the sheriff's department when he was saying that. It's not played on any network I can find, on YouTube, anything. I can't find it anywhere else. I looked for almost an hour yesterday. I can't find it. And he blatantly says, and Rodney Howard Brown's a very active Second Amendment proponent. He's active as far as concealed carry. He carries weapons. He tells his parishioners, his churchgoers, to carry lawfully. He has a security detail, as the sheriff said, that go with him, especially at church. And the sheriff's department blatantly said in that video that he has weapons, he has a security team, and we decided which way to go, and we decided against storming the church on Sunday morning with a SWAT team and arresting him in front of his 500 parishioners. That's exactly what he said. Well, was that necessary to say on television? I don't know. Was that something that really needed to be brought up? Or was that, again, proving your force and showing the populace that you will do anything you want when you're law enforcement, and that the executive order signed by Donald Trump is now the new law of the land? I don't know. Is that the case? Is that what we're dealing with here? You guys look at it. Make your own decision. It's a very, very, very interesting topic, and I have a feeling this will probably go down for years as different case topics that will get brought up in law school and stuff. Because, like I said, this is something that's really unprecedented, to have a pastor of a church define a quarantine order but assembling at a private location and being arrested with a bench warrant for unlawful assembly for gathering in a church. So I don't know, Deb. It's up in the air for a lot of people. People are going to go both sides. But again, this show, we try to bring you the most up-date health and world news on a regular basis. And when topics like this come up, we have to remain pretty much unbiased on them, because this isn't something we can go either way, especially on this topic, because there's so many quandaries on both sides. So that's pretty much my take on it, Deb.
Austin, I couldn't have said it any better. And what we've got to realize, guys, is that, you know, this is a mess for everybody. I mean, we got a sheriff basically saying they were going to storm the church and arrest him in front of the 500 parishioners.
Who are armed.
Heavily armed. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I said, and they are armed. The parishioners are armed.
Yeah, that's right. And remember, Ronnie encourages his people to carry guns. And so, you know, there are probably 300 people armed in that church at that given time, because this was this core group that was coming in regardless of executive order. There were 500 people. Now, I've got to say, Rodney doesn't have a mega church. He doesn't have that. I mean, he's probably got 500-800 people come on a regular basis, and he buses in a large segment of the population. A large segment of the church is bussed in every week. So it's not like he's got a church that's got 30, 40, 50,000 people like some of the churches and some of the pastors that I know. He doesn't have that. But, you know, this was his core group, and they were probably all heavily armed. I know every time I go to that church, and I have been in that church, but I don't go there anymore, ever. Like I said earlier, I don't associate with Rodney anymore. But, you know, I was always armed. He's about an hour drive from my house, because he encourages you to be armed. So, I mean, if the sheriff would have walked in there with a SWAT team, chances are there'd have been a problem. And so we've got to be thinking through all of this stuff. I mean, do we really want to have a situation where, you know, a church pastor becomes culpable in the death of people who come down with coronavirus and basically has a chance of losing the entire church through massive lawsuits? I mean, I don't know what to say on any of this stuff. It's all so weird. In fact, I've got a friend of mine who's also a radio TV personality. In fact, been in it longer than I have in Christian TV. And he goes, Ted, the situation we're in is the most unique that there's ever been. He goes, I'm 81 years old, and I've never seen anything even close to this in my entire life. When churches assemble and then that crowd moves into the population at large, as you know, being a doctor, they could spread whatever they had in that group of people to the public at large, whoever they come in contact with. It's unique if it were the government just suggesting we not mingle with each other. That's the situation. If it stands alone, then you are messing with our rights constitutionally. It's a very unique situation. And I look back at these comments and I go, you know, it's true. So, guys, you know me personally. If you want to ask me personally off the air what I think about all this, I'll be happy to tell you. I'll tell you in depth what I feel about all of this stuff, but I'm not going to do it on this show, not today, because this is one of those topics, and you guys know that we pretty much breach every topic there is, and I give you my opinion on it. But this one's one of those. This one that's a no-win, because about half of you are probably going to support Roddy, about half of you are going to say he's nuts, and so the problem is, what do you do? I can't please you guys. I can't try to justify what he did. I can't justify what the sheriff did. It's a giant mess. But like Austin said, these are the kind of topics that if the United States survives this, we brought up in law schools and in legal briefs from now on while the United States exists. It will be, did the sheriff have the right? That would be a good question in the classroom. Did Rodney have the right? Did Trump have the right? Yeah. I mean, you know, we have that right now in Sweden. They're telling you that more than 50 people can't come together. Well, they're not closing any bars or any restaurants or anything, and they're saying that basically a lot of people in Sweden live alone anyhow, so they don't really have a reason to self-quarantine, and they don't think it's for the health of the country for them to be basically not allowed to go out and do anything in public. And we'll see how it works in Sweden. You know, Sweden's already got their own problems with all the immigration laws they already have. You know, it's interesting. Rob from Wisconsin News, he wrote something very, very good, and I've got it posted on our website. It'll be up there by tomorrow morning. It's Wisconsin Christian News. It's by Rob Pugh. Rob's a friend of mine, and he wrote The Plandemic, and he goes, I put off compiling this message as long as I could, but I really can wait no longer. Today is Sunday, March the 22nd. I'm astounded at how the world has changed in just a week's time. Actually, it's been coming for a while now. A couple months ago, we began to see images coming out of Wuhan, China, a megacity of 11 million people that were shocking and horrific. People being rounded up by officials in hazmat suits, grabbed off the streets, thrown into the vans, and taken away. Other videos showed people falling over dead in the streets from this coronavirus. YouTube videos taken by people living in Wuhan showed how the entire city was completely locked down, people forced to stay in their homes. Several videos I saw showed officials actually welding the doors shut on apartment buildings to keep the occupants trapped inside. Aerial views of Wuhan depicted a giant megacity completely devoid of people, a literal ghost town. Now, this is an excellent article. Rob's a phenomenal writer, and I wanted to post this. And he wrote another one I've also posted on our website. It's called Welcome to the New Normal. And he goes, let me begin by noting that this message is being compiled on Monday, March the 30th, so that you will have a reference point, because by the time you read or hear the commentary, the information contained here will have probably changed. But this is the situation as it stands today. As of today, the president is officially locked down for 17 days. It was March the 13th when the president declared a national state of emergency to fight the coronavirus, and since that time, the majority of states have issued shelter-in-place or stay-at-home orders. Businesses that the government considered to be non-essential have been forced to close their doors with no indication when they may reopen. restaurants nationwide are closed, except for takeout and delivery orders. Interstate travel within the United States has not yet been prohibitive. However, several states are issuing strict orders regarding those who travel from hotspot locations, including Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, Miami, Atlanta, Detroit. In most instances, those traveling to other areas are ordered to self-quarantine for a minimum of 14 days after their arrival. The Mexican-Canadian borders are closed. Now, I want to read you both these. I want you to go to the website and read them both, because it'll take me literally – these are long articles, and they're excellent. And you see, you guys need to read them. But think about another little irony here. You know, Donald Trump has refused to close the borders to Mexico. Has refused. Refused. And suddenly the borders are closed. He has refused to close the borders with Canada with illegals coming across, which basically should have been monitored much more heavily. Now suddenly they're closed. You know, so now people like Cortez, who's the bartender who won the election because basically she applied for it like a job position, like, you know, an acting career. She's basically saying that, you know, this is awful, and this $2 trillion that we're giving out wasn't giving enough money to the illegal aliens and the illegal people coming into the country. And so all of these things are happening right now as we speak. And we're looking at what's going on. We're going, this is just a giant mess. And now the Pentagon is saying, this is another interesting thing, that boot camps for the military must continue for national security despite putting lives in danger and more than 10 people in congregating. Now they're saying that they're going to make an exception for continuing training of the military with the possibility of these guys coming down with coronavirus because the stake of the United States is at hand. Well, isn't the United States, the very essence, the very existence of the United States at hand now too, with shutting down the economic engine of the country and shutting the entire businesses down in the country, kind of shutting down goods and services in the country and issuing these quarantine orders? Would it be better? Here's another question for you. To allow the virus to run its course and supply the people with enough D3, potassium iodide, vitamin C, to make sure everybody stays healthy, instead of shutting the whole economic engine down? I mean, wouldn't that not be better to do it that way? That's what I think. I mean, I would have given out free vitamins to everybody if I was Donald Trump. I'd crank up the doggone pharmaceutical corporations and say, hey, it's all you're making, these three vitamins, done. These three nutrients, done. And we're distributing them via mail to every single household in America for everybody in the household so everybody get healthy. That would be a whole lot cheaper to do that. Would it cost $1 billion, $2 billion to do that to everybody in the United States? And all of a sudden, everybody stays healthy, this thing kind of just goes away? But oh no, we can't do that. We've got to use the petrochemical pharmaceutical industry in the hospitals. And then the hospital that's sitting down there in Central Park, I saw pictures of it yesterday, is sitting there with empty beds in it. Nobody in there. All of a sudden, this makeshift hospital tent like you have in MASH, that old TV show, as far as these guys working out of a hospital tent because the hospital's overrun with patients, sitting there with every single bed empty. Now, was that just because they took the picture after they completed it? I don't know. All I know is this. This whole thing is squirrely, and they ain't telling us the truth about all of it, Austin. No. What do you think, bud?
Well, and there's even been this hashtag trending on Twitter, which I don't like to bring a lot of social media stuff up, but it's been quite strange because I saw it last night when my friend showed it to me. It's hashtag empty hospitals. And individuals have been like live feeding and live shots of hospitals all across the country that allegedly, you know, there's all these spots on the meter, you know, the whole graph people have seen where there's coronavirus, and they go to these areas, hospitals are empty. And I don't mean empty as far as like they're desolate. I just mean it's like normal hospital time. You know, you got 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 people in there at a time, sometimes more, bigger hospital with various different things. Now, the aspect of as well that we're starting to hear about, and I've heard this repeated from numerous people, and I can't verify it because I'm not a doctor in the hospital working with coronavirus patients, but I've heard repeatedly that majority of these people that are dying from coronavirus have some type of serious health condition before they contracted the coronavirus. Meaning, just an example,
that's right.
You have somebody that's got terminal cancer, and they're in the hospital now, and they've got, you know, 6 months or a year to live, or they're having chemotherapy, and all of a sudden, their immune system's unbelievably low, they contract the coronavirus, they die in 4 or 5 days from coronavirus. Well, it goes down that they died from coronavirus. There's no excerpt or asterisk that shows that, hey, they basically had cancer. There's nothing like that. There's also been instances, too, that I've heard that people have basically come in and had, you know, pneumonia and certain other things, and they haven't been able to test them for coronavirus, but they classify them as a coronavirus carrier because they have pneumonia and they ran out of test kits, so they put them down as coronavirus. Now, again, I can't verify that, but I've heard this from numerous people in the health industry. So then you have to ask yourself, what is really going on behind the scenes? Because, I mean, we know every single year, roughly 75,000 people die just from diabetes. That's not heart disease, not cancer, just from diabetes alone, directly from diabetes. That's between 6,000 to 7,000 people die every single month from diabetes. Well, I've never heard an executive order from any president says, hey, we're mandating that food can only have X amount of sugar added to it. Sugar is directly related to diabetes. High fructose corn syrup is even worsely related to diabetes and non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And we know these things are directly related to it, with especially these chemical versions of it, like high fructose corn syrup. So we're limiting the amount of high fructose corn syrup that can be used in any single product. Executive order. Bam. Well, no, you can't do that. You couldn't possibly do that, because that would be tyranny, right? You can't tell people how much sugar they can eat, but you can tell them how many people they can gather together, right? So where are we at here with this national emergency? Where is it being used to push the narrative that they want to push? I mean, here's the irony about this. We're seeing a pastor that was disregarding a blatant order for people to come together, and so he was arrested. And the sheriff's department blatantly got on television and said, you cannot have more than 10 people come together. But ironically, I just pulled up orbits.com, orbit flights. And I have selected a flight from New York to Fort Lauderdale at 7:15 a.m. to arrive nonstop in Fort Lauderdale on Friday, April the 3rd, for $22. I can still buy a plane ticket right as this second from New York to Fort Lauderdale for $22, and I can get on the plane and I can fly from New York to Florida. Obviously, I'm reading this, but I'm not doing that. But I'm showing you that I can click it right now. Well, here's the thing: planes hold more than 10 people. Have they said that planes can't have more than 10 passengers? How does that work out? How's that 10-person maximum assembly work? If you have more than 10 people on a plane, what, are you going to arrest the pilot and the passengers on the plane? What about them actively leaving a quarantine area? Weren't they supposed to shelter in place? And they said that down here in Florida, safer at home, or whatever weird psychological rhetoric they keep telling everybody? Stay at home, you're safer at home. All right, maybe some truth to that. But when is it the government's job to protect everybody? That's another question you have to ask yourself. How has it now become the government's job to babysit us and change our diaper and give us a bottle and tell people that you're not allowed to leave your house? If you do, you're going to be arrested. But on the flip side, you can go get on a plane for $22 and get straight shot from New York to Fort Lauderdale with no restrictions that basically are listed. And I just selected it. There's nothing on here right now. It doesn't say you are going to be quarantined if you get on this flight. You're going to have to stay at home mandated by law after you get on this flight and you hit Florida. It doesn't say anything of that on here. So what is really going on, guys? I mean, we know the media lies to us repeatedly. We see again ABC, or was it CBS this morning, got busted again. They took a video footage from Sky News on March 19th from a very, very hot, basically, hospital in Italy, loaded with people on ventilators, doing horribly, allegedly fighting the virus in Italy. Video footage from 2 weeks ago. And of course, what CBS do? They record that same footage. They steal it from Sky News. They put it on their ABC News report and say, this is what they say here. New York governor says FEMA gave the state 400 ventilators. America's epicenter. New York now accounts for more than half of new U.S. cases. And they literally show the exact same video footage from Italy on CBS News this morning. And they got busted again. Oh, that's right. Didn't we see these same clowns get busted a couple months ago when they said that Turkey was invading Syria and killing refugees and killing civilians in Syria? And they played this unbelievably graphic footage of all these machine guns going off, minigun live fire with tracer rounds, tannerite explosions, 40 millimeter grenades, all this stuff going on. Oh, that's right. They got busted. They stole video footage offline of a 2017 machine gun range shoot at Knob Creek that's done every single year legally. Oh, that's right. They got busted doing that again. So we know we keep getting lied to repeatedly. So where's the truth in all this? I'm asking you guys. Do some research as well. Dad and I are doing it every day. And I'm still coming up with different answers with all this stuff. This is something that is so unbelievably strange, and at the same time, we're now saying that it's okay to suspend our constitutional rights because a virus that allegedly has gotten into, you know, and killed a couple thousand people in the U.S., allegedly, they've died directly from the coronavirus. That's what they're telling us, allegedly. We've now said we're willing to give up all of our freedoms, all of our rights, all of our ability to travel freely, unmolested, on our way for an invisible boogeyman. That now you are either with us or you're with the virus, which is essentially where we've been put down to at this point in the United States. So I encourage everybody, do your research. Do your own research. Don't believe everything I say or Dad says. We do a lot. This is a lot all the time. But if you want to do your own research, do your own. I promise you, you'll find the same news, the same articles, the same research. And hopefully, you know, you can also come to a conclusion on what's going on. Because the next thing that I'm waiting for, and I've already told everybody this, if we're seeing this level of aggression down here in Florida, and in multiple other states, we're hearing about little snippets of the same thing. Where are we going to draw the line when they mandate by executive order you have to get a vaccine? That's my next question I put out there. What happens when Trump signs an executive order that says every man, woman, and child for the greater good of the United States has to be mandated with a coronavirus or COVID-19 vaccine? That's the next question. And you come out and you say, no, I'm not going to take this vaccine. Are they now going to have the legal precedent to issue an arrest warrant for you, a bench warrant, and come to your home and forcibly drag you out of your home and arrest you, and then strap you down to a gurney and inject you with a vaccine in the hospital? It appears, guys, that may actually be okay with them because they've suspended the Constitution. So, again, do your research. Get this information out there. Get other people talking about it. It's the best thing to do. The more people that talk about this, the more activity it sees, and the more we can actually stand up for our rights against tyranny in this country, Dad. That's my stance on it.
Oh, my gosh, that was good, Austin. That was really good. Because you're right. I mean, is this arrest of Rodney Howard Brown? The
apparently.
Canary in the coal? Is it the canary in the coal? Is it the canary in the coal mine?
Yeah.
I mean, is that what this is? I mean, are we all gonna collectively fall on our sword now for Rodney because he did this? Or did he choose a bad thing to fall on a sword for? I mean, I tell you what, this coronavirus vaccine, that's a pretty big deal. You know, are we gonna collectively say no to that? And like Austin said, are we then going to be basically falling on our sword for the coronavirus vaccine? And they issue bench warrants for all of the quote unquote patriots who don't want to take the vaccine? You know, or did Rodney pick the wrong one to do it on? Should Rodney have waited and kept his powder dry until they did that? I don't know. You know, I don't, like I said, I don't talk to Rodney anymore. I don't know what his mind was set was on any of this stuff. So I don't know. You know, all I know is that, you know, we've got to think through all of this stuff. And again, I'm not saying Rodney's right. I'm not saying Rodney's wrong. I'm just saying that is Rodney the canary in the coal mine, or should we have waited for the canary in the coal mine to be the vaccinations? And I said this on yesterday's show, I may have said it on the day before. I said, you know, here's the thing. If we in the aggregate stand against this and push back now, they're going to realize they're not going to be able to put the vaccines in us. That we're going to say no. But now they're telling us we're going to be locked down through June, through July, through August, through the whole summer. Nobody can go out and do anything. Close the national park. Great Smoky National Park is closed. Yellowstone's closed. You know, all these parks are closed because they don't want people going to the great outside. I mean, the chances of catching the coronavirus in Great Smoky Mountain National Park or Yellowstone is pretty much zero. I mean, what are you going to get it from an antelope? You're going to get it from a black bear? I mean, what the heck is that all about? You know, you don't have to worry about practicing social distancing in the national park. It's big. Unless you walk by people on the trail, I guess you can hold your breath. But I mean, the whole thing's ridiculous. Brad just sent this to me, and this is excellent. He goes, Austin is correct. One reason the hospitals are virtually empty is because they have stopped all non-essential surgeries and procedures because they expected such a huge influx of coronavirus patients. And as of yet, they don't have them. So you have nurses that are actually being sent home because of lack of work in the hospitals. Here in Polk County, EAP, now my wife actually took care of 3 coronavirus patients last night, all elderly, with diabetes, and most were either smokers or had COPD. There you go. The Polk County emergency rooms and the Winter Haven and Bartow are virtual ghost towns because people have stopped bringing their children in for runny noses because it's the little things they used to get the free health care for, and that they don't longer have to do that because the hospitals, you know, are basically not. I can't read the last sentence; it's jumbled. But what he's saying basically is the hospitals used to be filled with people who wanted to get free health care for their children, especially the migrants. Because you go to the emergency room, which I've done before, you know, somebody gets cut or whatever, accident, and it's packed with people that are Hispanic from other countries because they don't have health insurance, and the hospital cannot refuse to treat them. And so, you know, if they go to a local physician's office, they can be refused to be treated unless a payment is rendered before services are given. So they can't do that in a hospital, in an emergency room. So here we have the hospitals now in Central Florida empty because of lack of business, because everybody's scared to go there, because of coronavirus, and the nurses are being sent home because they don't have the ability to do anything because there's nobody in the hospitals. What a mess. Now, to change the subject, I have to say this. This is from – I couldn't resist this one. I got to give you guys a little bit of humor. The star of the best little whorehouse in Texas, Dolly Parton, believes that the coronavirus pandemic is a lesson from God. I'm going to repeat this. The star – from the best little whorehouse in Texas, Dolly Parton, believes the coronavirus pandemic is a lesson from God. Dolly Parton offered fans an inspiring message amid the coronavirus pandemic last week, sharing a video in which she said that she believes the virus is a lesson from God. The country legend began her video at the bottom of the stairs singing, "Climbing the stairway to heaven because the virus has scared the hell out of us." Now, that's kind of interesting. I wonder if it scared the last little whorehouse out of Texas out of her. I don't know. Now, I'm picking on Dolly Parton. I like Dolly Parton. And that was a movie that she did with Burt Reynolds back in the 70s or 80s. I don't remember the exact year. And it was actually a funny movie. But the reality is that, you know, now we have Hollywood people that have engaged in the Hollywood world, involved in the Hollywood lifestyle, involved in the Hollywood trappings, who are now coming out and preaching to us about God. Now, could she be telling the truth? Well, here's the thing, guys. God... the Old Testament God that we knew is the same yesterday, today, and forever as for the New Testament. But now we're under grace and we live under Jesus Christ. The thing about it is that God, and I said this the other day, Lucifer comes to rob, kill, steal, and destroy and send coronaviruses. You know, this thing was put together in a laboratory, either in Wuhan or Fort Detrick. You know, the boy who basically was involved in selling Chinese, United States secret to the Chinese, Lieber from Harvard, you know, was arrested for this, put under bond. I think he's probably out by now. I don't know. He's probably gone to a non-extradition country. I don't know that. I'm just speculating. But the reality is he's made millions of dollars from giving these secrets to the Chinese, and now he's been arrested by the FBI. Now, somebody somewhere, whether it was Lieber or Harvard or Fort Detrick or Wuhan or somebody somewhere built this thing in a laboratory, and they added HIV to it, and they added SARS to it. They've made it incredibly contagious, 100,000 times more contagious than a normal cold. And it's also fatal for people that have pre-existing conditions in many cases, which is what we've seen in Italy. And so now we have a situation in which people want to blame this all on God. Now, wait a minute. Stop for a second. This ain't God. These are the Sabbatean Kabbalists, the Luciferians who want to depopulate the planet who are doing this. I've told you this repeatedly on the show. We always come back to this. And, you know, these are the guys who are using the Zionists to push the rebuilding of the Third Temple to bring their satanic god, their son of perdition, on the temple steps to declare himself God. These are those guys, all right, who have done this, the guys who worship the snake in the tree. I always bring it back to this, guys. I want you to understand that. This snake in the tree is the one who wants the human sacrifice. He wants the blood of infants. This is the Baal, the Moloch, the Canaanite worshipers, the Asherah worshipers. The entire world is under a satanic cult that likes to kill children with abortion and ritual sacrifice. Now, we're back to the real stuff now. Okay, here we are. And these are the guys that have released the virus on the planet. Yeah, it wasn't God. He said, well, God should protect us. Why? Yeah, that's the question I'm asking you. Now, I believe he's going to protect you, my listeners, because I've extended my protective covering, kind of like the USS Enterprise puts its force field around people, you know, other ships. That's kind of a metaphor. It's not really what I do, but that's kind of how I look at it. And, you know, I send this protective covering from God Almighty over you and your families every day. I pray that he blesses you, that he keeps you, that he has his face to shine upon you. He gives you grace, mercy, health, peace, companionship, prosperity. I pray that over all of you. I plead the blood of Jesus over all of you every day. I put a hedge of thorns around you. you know, I basically say, there's angels all around you. And I believe with all of my heart, you know, when you take your supplements, you do everything you need to do, and you eat clean, and you do what you need to do, and God's going to do what God needs to do because you're bringing honor and glory to Him. I believe that with all my heart. But don't blame this thing on God. Don't say that God sent this on the United States to punish His children. Wait a minute. You know, what parent that's worth even being called a parent would intentionally inflict harm and torture a child and give them coronavirus? Think about that for a second. Jesus answered this. He goes, if you ask your father for a loaf of bread, He's not going to give you a snake or a rock. This isn't God, guys. This isn't the great I Am doing any of this. And the reason He is not protecting the vast majority of the people in the United States who aren't Christians or who are heathen is because we have forsaken Him. And if we turned as a nation and we asked Him to forgive us and we repented, then He would heal our nation. He would come back into our midst. Now, He's still here among you, my listeners, among my family. It's like we have this protective bubble over us. But the other people that don't believe any of this stuff, the guys at the pro-gay boys, you know, the homosexual population is being decimated in New York right now. Remember, Tel Aviv is the number one homosexual destination in the world. You know, do we really believe that God's blessings on a country that has that? It had 20,000 people show up for the last gay parade, or no, it wasn't 20, it was like 250,000 show up for the last gay parade in Israel. Do we believe God's protecting that country? Or who's protecting that country? What God? Would that be their Ein Sof? Their snake in a tree that the Kabbalists worship and believe is God? You know, He comes to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. And that's what I said on my show years ago. I was talking to the listeners. This is back when we still had a more of a diversified audience, and I had a bunch of these weirdos listening to the show that we used to get billed from all the time. And I said to them, I said, look, I said, you Satanists that are listening, I said, here's the deal. You say your God's the good God. You say that Ein Sof, He's the man. He's who you think He's the best guy. Okay? Then why does He demand that you sacrifice your children to Him? Why does He demand the blood of infants? Why does He demand human sacrifice? Why does He want to do all of this stuff to you? Because if you do it all stuff to you while you're on this planet, in this existence, on this dimensional plane, what's He going to do to you on the next dimensional plane when you get down there with Him? When there's no recourse and you can't walk away anymore like you can on this plane. You know, what's He going to do to you then? See, and that's the key. Don't blame any of this on God. Don't say God has sent a virus to us. That is not true. It is Lucifer, Ein Sof, whatever you want to call him, Baal, Moloch, Asherah, you know, Satan. What do you pick a name? I don't care. Gosh, there's all these different names. I've actually read all the names to you before on the show. It's that entity that's doing this, that wants to depopulate the planet down to 500 million people, as it's stated on the Georgia Guidestones. You know, Bill Gates basically is in joyful glee over all of this. You listen to the last interview, I posted it on the website. He's like smiling through all of it because of this is all happening. You know, now another question you got to ask yourself, is this the big beta test? Is this the big beta test to determine how much we're willing to take, how far they can push us, how far we're willing to go, how far the fluoride has done what it's needed to do, how far the statin drugs have gone as far as what they need to do as far as dumbing us down, or all of the psychiatric meds that people are on, or how about all that heroin they've pumped into us from Afghanistan? Nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to talk about the Afghanistan heroin and how that money is put back through the Exchange Stability Fund, which works its way back into our treasury for black ops. Nobody wants to talk about that, except for this show. So don't allow people who are Christians to say to you, God has done this to us. Now, could God stop the coronavirus? He could snap His fingers and it would go away. That's the truth. But let me ask you another question. If God did snap His fingers and it went away, would the media allow it to go away? Or would they still tell us, oh, a record number of people died from what? AIDS? From what? Diabetes? From what? Cancer? From what? Heart disease? Yeah, we have that happen every single day. How many of them are being listed? How many of these people are now being listed as coronavirus victims? If the coronavirus disappeared today, would they allow it to disappear? Or would they keep it going to see how far they could run the beta test? Hey, this has been one of those shows. You know, we've been thinking about all of this weird stuff of what we can and can't do, what we should and shouldn't say, where we should and shouldn't go. But guys, I'm here to tell you something. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in this world. Because remember what it says. If the God of this age had known what he was doing, he never would have crucified the Son of Glory. That's what the Bible says. It's telling you this Einsoft thing is the God of this age on this planet. We're not of this world. We've been set apart. God came and he purchased us through a blood covenant with Christ, who bought and paid for us and for our sins, to bring us back to him through the cross, through Calvary. So never let these weirdo, whacked out pastors say, this is something God has done to us. Or the best little whorehouse from Texas, Dolly Parton, believing that the coronavirus is a pandemic, is a lesson from God. God doesn't do those kind of lessons, guys. This is Einsoft doing this crap. The weirdo snake in the tree guy. Ugh, what do you think, Austin?
That's really well said. And I mean, and you can see, I mean, there's so many things that are happening. You said so succinctly. If this virus burned out right now, and that's kind of the next question, even if there was no intervention by God Almighty, how do we know when this virus burns out? It's a question. How do we know when this virus is over with? As Dad said, there are literally tens of thousands of people every single day that die in hospitals from various diseases. Like you just said. How do we know that these individuals aren't just getting a moderated form of the flu? My brother-in-law, a friend of mine, Lana's brother, my brother-in-law, I talked to him a couple days ago. His best friend that I've met and hung out with multiple times, he's an Air Force pilot. I know him very well. I can't tell his names. He's full active duty. He got diagnosed with coronavirus. He called up last week. He goes, dude, got coronavirus. I don't know what to do. I don't feel bad. They tested positive. They tested like all of us. This is, two of us got tested positive. We had a bunch of flights all over the Europe. And so, well, you're taking your vitamins. He goes, yeah, well, you know, I mean, he works out all the time. He's real active, real good shape. Taking some multivitamins, so forth. He doesn't like to take much more than that. I said, well, you need to take this and this and this. He goes, I don't really mess with that. I'm taking multivitamins. I think they're going to put me on the chloroquine. I said, okay, whatever. Keep us posted on it. Sure enough, talked to him over the weekend. Already recovering. Said he had real bad fever for like 2 days and, you know, just tired, real fatigued. Started to bounce back by the third day. They're supposed to be doing more tests on this week, see if he's recovered from it. And he's good to go. They're going to keep an eye on him. You know, they basically keep you self-quarantine afterwards to make sure you don't relapse. And that's it. And I'm not saying that this thing doesn't mutate in some cases. I'm not saying more people don't have issues with it. But what I'm saying is, does this virus that people are contracting constitute completely removing the constitutional rule of law and due process that we have been given and signed over by our founding fathers in the United States of America? That's the question we have to start asking ourselves. Because, I mean, they've already been saying now that they're already talking about needing another stimulus bill. These unbelievably money-hungry roaches that run these bankers, already you're talking about doing another stimulus bill. The $2.2 trillion wasn't enough. Now they want more. Because why? Their greed and avarice knows no bounds. They've seen that this is a honey hole. It's a honey hole. I talked to one of my great buddies who's in is retired from the Army, but does military contracts now for DOD. He said they are approving contracts at an unprecedented rate. Stuff that normally would take a year or more to get approved for a DOD contract, they're approving in a matter of weeks right now. They have so much money, he said, they don't even know what to spend it on. They're just approving contracts that sound good. Oh, face masks for this. Oh, respirators for this. Oh, Kleenex, sure. Chairs. Oh, beds, we need more of that. Sheets, oh, sure. Doesn't even matter. They're not even getting multiple bids or numbers on it. The bid comes in and it's something they want, they just automatically approve it. Bam. Okay, here's a $50 million check for this. Here's a $5 million check for this. Here's a $100,000 check for this. Here's a $500,000 check for this. That fast. That fast, guys. So what else is being done behind the scenes, and are we being told the truth? You guys decide. I've pretty much already made my call on this. So again, please continue to stay at peace, but to stay prepared. use wisdom, as I've said before. If you know this stuff's going around, don't be going around and hanging out with a bunch of people. That's just my personal opinion. I don't think that's a wise decision right now. If you know people are basically in health care or they have spouses in health care, you may want to question whether or not you want them to be exposed to you or your kids or so forth, especially if you have young kids. I'm very cautious of that with my little kids right now. I have to be. Cause, I mean, I got, you know, Hunter's 3, going to be 4 next month, Kindle's 2. Last thing I could possibly deal with right now, on top of everything else going on, is dealing with them being unbelievably sick with this. Just something I literally can't fathom having to deal with right now. And so use wisdom, especially if you have elderly people or, you know, family that's in your house. Use wisdom and make sure you're keeping your immune system strong. The C, the D, the iodine, we're getting more zinc back in stock. And let me clarify, I've had a lot of people saying, oh, zinc's the go-to, zinc cures all. No, that is not accurate whatsoever. Zinc is very good for the immune system. Zinc, there's no question about it, zinc is definitely good to take. However, the only thing that I have seen with any aspect of zinc working properly is that zinc, in conjunction with the chloroquine, which is basically an autoimmune pharmaceutical drug that they use in tuberculosis, it allows the body to increase its uptake of zinc. So if you take more zinc while you're taking chloroquine, it works incredibly well at knocking out the coronavirus. Now, does that mean that taking zinc by itself can also help? I'm sure it's going to have benefits to the immune system, but it's not doing exactly what they're saying. The biggest research I've seen, undeniably, is vitamin C really helping out with the immune system, especially when it does intravenously. That's the research I've seen, vitamin C by itself intravenously actually knock out the coronavirus. But zinc by itself knocking out the coronavirus, if somebody's peddling you that and trying to sell you a $50 bottle of zinc, you really need to question their motives, because I have not seen any research like that that even comes close to talking about that level of effectiveness with zinc. So please use wisdom on that. If you need anything, please give us a call, healthmasters.com. Lots of different supplements right now. We also have the HR5 coupon code that we put on Hagmann last week. That's basically 5% off all regular priced products on the website of Health Masters. That excludes kits and current products already on sale. So thank you for the support. Stay safe. Stay prepared. Have an awesome, safe, blessed night. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.